Two. Running hot. You bet. One. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Elizabeth Peak, a columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, commenting on Elizabeth Peak these last 2-3 years. Liz has written column after column for The Hill and for Fox News, reprinted often in the New York Sun, pointing to the excessive spending of the last year of the Trump administration, the first, second, and third year of the Biden administration, the excessive spending being the driver for the inflation that bedeviled the American citizens, especially the citizens who have paycheck to paycheck. We're watching the prices in the grocery store spike. Liz, congratulations, because my version of what you did was remind everybody what the problem was. And I'd have to say one of the many things that Ms. Harris's campaign did not answer, not even an inadequate answer, was that spending. And maybe because there was no response, maybe because she didn't want to acknowledge the fact that she was that she did not support the theory that spending was driving inflation. Please restate it now, the day after the election. What is it that caused the inflation, the 9% spike in 22 and the continued worries about it coming back? Good day to you, Liz.
Good day. Well, yeah, everyone is looking at the most recent inflation numbers and all these big labor settlements that are coming through. Boeing, for example, just guaranteed their workers raises of 36% over 4 years, which is almost 10% a year. And that's just a mighty wage hike, which will have to be passed along to consumers. And of course, it's not alone. We've seen big wage agreements in various other, the dock workers, we're going to see one in January. Other unions, too, have demanded that they be made whole. And you can't blame them. They've had this tremendous spike in the cost of living. Everyone is spending 20% plus more than they are for daily life than they were 4 years ago. And when Ronald Reagan asked Jimmy Carter voters, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? That really brought home what had gone wrong during the Carter administration. And of course, Donald Trump did the same thing again. So why do we have inflation? Because yes, the government poured too much money onto an already heating up economy. And yes, Trump did some of that in his final year to combat the economy shutting down because of COVID. But the excess came under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris when, starting in April 2021, they passed the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Act, which was then followed by the Inflation Reduction Act and so many other bills that were passed, which the Democrats considered a real victory for Joe Biden. But my view is it was not at all a victory for the American people. And I think the most damning thing about Kamala Harris's run for the White House is she never acknowledged, Democrats in general have never acknowledged, that excessive spending, where now federal spending is running 23-24% of GDP versus about 21-20% historically, that has been a problem. And why didn't they ever acknowledge it? Because they wanted to campaign on giving more money to minorities to open up businesses, more money to all young people to buy a house, more money to cancel student loans. They don't have a different plan. Their plan is always to raise taxes and raise spending. And the problem is when you're campaigning for president, the spending sounds just great, but when Kamala Harris is also advocating for a very big hike on corporate taxes and wealthy Americans, probably that didn't help her campaign very much. But there is this disconnect. Democrats simply won't admit that we spend too much money. And I think now, with a Trump Senate, a Trump White House, possibly even a Trump White House of Representatives, you know, I think they're going to get serious about governmental reforms, trying to cut down on spending. I sure hope so. That, of course, is what Elon Musk has been talking about a lot. That is really, in my view, a very important mission.
The way it's been explained to me, Liz, is that it's all fine for the Federal Reserve to work miracles with the interest rates. But Powell needs help, and the help he needs is Congress to cut its spending. Is that correct? Is that the right formula? They need to get their shoulders to the wheel as well and not continue to hand out money.
Well, that's right. And so, you know, what people will say is, well, wait a minute, only 15% of the federal budget is discretionary. You've got all these other things that were, you know, that are baked in the cake, like Social Security and Medicare. Well, guess what? Some of that Social Security money and money for disability payments, et cetera, that also can be trimmed because there's enormous waste and fraud. Everybody knows this. Back in the day when 60 Minutes was a more honest broker of news, they actually did a special on the waste and fraud in the Medicare, in the Social Security disability program, where so many people were receiving disability payments who didn't have any right to them. So you're not really helping people by promulgating or continuing on that road, because you're really taking money away from people who need it and deserve it. But yes, I think that Trump hopefully will work with Congress. It has happened before. It happened back in the Newt Gingrich day. They actually did begin to rein in spending, and it even happened under Obama. We had a sort of short reprieve in terms of spending not going up. That's what we need to see happen again, and I hope they will.
We turn to sectors. Energy first. What does this mean for the energy sector? We're said to be pumping more oil than ever before, but there is that question about fracking and liquefied natural gas. Does Trump change the direction of that?
Oh, I think for sure. He has promised, drill, baby, drill in his inimitable way. And there are a lot of regulations that have been put on the oil and gas industry since Joe Biden took office and vowed, if you remember, to shut down fossil fuels. That's kind of his mission. So we've had royalty payments go up. We've had insurance payments go up on drilling sites, things like that. A huge amount of acreage taken off the potential for being leased, like the wildlife refuge in Alaska, which could have 2 to 3, possibly more, billion barrels of oil. These are very consequential decisions that Joe Biden made. Yes, it is true we're producing at record levels right now, but that is now stalled. Many people think it's about to start going lower because we're not drilling very much. And again, because a lot of the most promising acreage for drilling and exploration has been taken offline, basically put out of reach by the federal government. So I think Trump will work to review all of that and reverse it. And I think you won't see probably an immediate turn up in oil production. But by the way, LNG gas exports, obviously, there was never any reason to stop that. We have a 100-year supply of natural gas. And if we don't supply LNG to the rest of the world, Iran picks up the balance. And other countries that are not friendly to the United States, a lot of it's going to China. Why in the world would we want their ties to certain countries to get closer instead of supplying that gas ourselves? It doesn't make any sense, and it never did.
I'm speaking with Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News. We're dealing with the numbers that we have now. Mr. Trump is declared the 47th president of the United States. At the same time, the Senate is clearly going to be in the hands of a Republican majority. The House remains unknown. So we're doing a little speculating about what the Trump administration in the first 2 years can do if it stays the way it is right now, a divided House. However, when we come back, regulation and banking, regulation and green, regulation in general, what to expect. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Elizabeth Peake, of the columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, who's written carefully these last years, one about spending, the excessive spending of the administrations that contributed to the spike in inflation and beggared the American people. But now we come to regulation. It's not all Biden. It's just generally built up. There was once upon a time a magical man named Ronald Reagan who deregulated a stack of papers, but it's back. It's back and more than ever. So in sectors, Liz, what can deregulation, what can Musk, his DOGE, D-O-G-E, Department of Government
government efficiency.
What can he do for banking? What is the problem there?
Well, bank regulation has been a favored activity on the left ever since the financial crisis, and it's kind of understandable why. Banks did not manage their business as well, and a lot of people got very badly hurt by the defaults on housing loans, mortgages. Banking regulation has gotten tighter with a view towards reining in the extreme power, if you will, of the nation's biggest banks. The problem is, as that has happened, it has made it even tougher for smaller banks to compete. So actually, the concentration of business in the biggest banks has increased over time, which, of course, was not the intended outcome. But, John, if you took 10 government programs and looked at the intended outcome, almost never does it turn out exactly the way they think. Anyway, it is generally perceived that banking regulation will be a little bit more reasonable under a Trump administration. It was before. Jamie Dimon, for among others, has spoken out about the increased capital requirements, the increased complexity of new rules and regulations, the amount of time spent on certifying that you're not racist, that your loans aren't going to energy producers, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's gotten completely crazy. So I think that's an easy place to look for some improvement. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of innovation going on in the financial markets, in the fintech and payments and crypto, obviously, all of which has been really bogged down by Gary Gensler, the head of the SEC, and other bank regulator types. And I think a lot of that is going to be sort of lifted. I can't tell you specifics. I don't know the specifics. But there are some people who are very deeply invested in trying to make that more rational. Because, by the way, our big banks have to compete with equally huge banks around the world. And when we start making them uncompetitive, obviously, that is to the detriment of American businesses. So we don't want that to happen.
And green, the Trump people and the green people. I'm talking about the green wind power and solar panels. There's been an excessive attention to that, lots of development money still in the pipeline. That money stays in the pipeline, I understand. You can't get it, or you can't reach in there and unspend it. Is that correct, Liz?
No, I don't think it is correct. I think there is an opportunity to take back into the budget some of the hundreds of billions of dollars set aside by the Inflation Reduction Act, but not yet committed. And of course, one of the things that the Biden-Harris White House have done is proved really incapable of spending money. For example, Kamala Harris was allocated a huge amount of money to improve broadband internet reach to rural communities. And my understanding is there is not one project that has gone forward. It's a little bit like Pete Buttigieg spending $8 billion and having only 7 or 8 EV stations to show for it, while Elon Musk is rolling those things out at, you know, thousands per year. So I think the good news is I don't think that a lot of this money has been spent. And I think some of it, I've forgotten the name, the description or the word that describes recapturing some of that allocated money. But I think it is possible. And I'm sure that that will be a consideration.
And regulation in general, the FTC, Google, Microsoft, Meta, all the big Silicon Valley duchies were anxious and lawyering up. And now they won't reverse themselves because they do have the European Union to deal with. But can Trump move effectively, or is the FTC one of those ever-ready battery rabbits that keeps going forever, can't be stopped?
Oh, no, the FTC will be overhauled. Lena Khan will be out almost immediately, I'm sure, because she is wildly unpopular practically everywhere and overreaching. Now, I am not a big fan of big tech because of its political bias, and I would like to think there's some way to hold their feet to the fire where Google, as an example, cannot so shift or control search results so as to disadvantage Republicans and only to advantage Democrats. And that's what they've been doing. It was clear during the election. There are a million examples of this. It wasn't just Google, by the way. It was almost all the tech companies. So I think we need to somehow demand restraints on that kind of political bias. These things have become, in a sense, national utilities. And just as we demanded many, many years ago fair balance from the major networks with the idea that the government was granting them hugely profitable franchises, and so they had to treat left and right equally, and by the way, they don't, but at least that's the theory, I think the same thing is going to have to be addressed with social media. I don't know how, and I don't know really that there's any group in Congress sort of prepared to go after that, but it's something I think that conservatives are definitely going to want to look at.
And we come back to the Federal Reserve, the monetary policy, and the Treasury, the fiscal policy. Do we see any sharp changes there? Or it was pretty steady as you go in the first Trump term. Do you expect that again?
I would think that the Fed will not be dissuaded from lowering interest rates. We know that Donald Trump, as a real estate developer, loves lower interest rates. That's the path that Jay Powell has set for himself. The next meeting is very soon, and my guess is that they will lower the rate 25 basis points. Frankly, the only thing, what we've seen is that rates in the marketplace have not responded to the 50 basis point decline that Powell initiated most recently, which is troubling. I mean, it's we've had a couple of Treasury auctions that didn't go that well, and that bumped up rates. If people begin to think that higher rate level is just here to stay, the Fed will be effective eventually, but it really hasn't moved the needle very much right now.
And can we count on Treasury being commonsensical? We have 30 seconds, Liz.
Treasury is going to be pretty consumed with tariffs, and we'll see how that all spins out. It's not immediate. Obviously, none of the stuff we're talking about begins until January. But Treasury has been an enabler. They have been silent on the excess spending. I hope that changes.
Elizabeth Peake, after years of saying spending is driving inflation and inflation is driving the vote, this is one morning where she deserves congratulation for being consistent about why the Harris campaign did not gain traction. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Perfectly done, Ms. Peake.
Well, there's a lot to digest, right? And, the reality is we don't know yet how some of this stuff turns out. So we'll see. We'll see.
There's going to be a lot of flags put up the flagpole and see who salutes. A lot of that.
Yeah, you bet. You bet there is. I agree with that.
Have you seen Jill Biden's voting dress yesterday?
In the red suit?
Yes.
Do you think really she had a, was that a message? I don't know. Do you think?
Of course it was.
Oh, I love that. I love you. You're so great. I guess it just seems, is it possible that Joe Biden really didn't want Kamala Harris to win?
They threw him away. He went to Scranton. He went to Delaware to vote, and he made no comment. None. They threw him away.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
And they comes down to this power couple named Obama or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll get the story because Joe's going to talk.
That would be really amazing, I must say. I'll put out a piece shortly on the election. And I do mention that it's a repudiation, not just of obviously of Kamala Harris, but it's also a repudiation of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi Chuck Schumer, all of whom thought they could pull this fast one on the American public, and they were wrong. And with that, I got to go get dressed.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
I can't wait. Thanks so much, John.